Welcome to KBPS on PRP, a show featuring local news, music, and conversations, produced by students from AM 1450 KBPS, the Portland Public Schools radio station. I'm your host, Joe Anderson. You're listening to KBPS on PRP, with your FM dial tuned to 99.1. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland. On the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland, or streaming online from any computer at prp.fm. KBPS on PRP, a new hour-long show featuring KBPS students on Portland radio projects.
Recently, AM 1450 KBPS had the opportunity to speak with a Benson basketball legend, A.C. Green. A.C. Green was in attendance at the MLK Invitational Showcase Tournament at Lincoln High School that was being broadcasted on AM 1450 KBPS, and we spotted him in the crowd, invited him on air for a couple of minutes during a halftime show, and A.C. Green did not disappoint. Enjoy.
Well, did you guess our royalty yet? Did you say Damon Stoudemire? It's not Damon Stoudemire. Did you say Richard Washington? It's not Richard Washington. Did you say from the Benson High School class of 1981, an NBA champion player for the Lakers, the Suns, A.C. Green? If you said A.C. Green, you are correct. 33.3 seconds remaining here in the first half. Second quarter play at Lincoln High School. Westview on the inbounds will bring it up. Trailing really for the first time just in the last few seconds. John Dakin and Sean Phillipson along with Moto back here at Lincoln High School. Game one of our MLK Day Classic. And we have a score of Grant 33, Westview 27. We are very fortunate to be visited by a guest, one I described as PIL royalty, but much more than that. We're delighted to have with us for just a few minutes here, A.C. Green. A.C., thank you so much for joining us today.
For sure.
Really appreciate it.
Indeed.
When you were at Benson High School, class of 81, could you imagine facilities as nice as this? You remember that old gym over at Benson High School, I'm sure.
Yeah, fond memories. Smiles comes across my face as I think of all the blood, sweat, and tears in both those gyms over there.
Now, AC, I've watched you play since you were about 15 because I am a year ahead of you, a graduate of the former Wilson High School.
All right.
I was a student at a Pac-12 college where I watched your Ralph Miller squads, well, dominate my school. I won't say which, but let's just say that it's in Los Angeles and it's not USC. And then I lived for many years in Los Angeles and saw your Laker career. Do you miss playing?
No, you don't miss playing because you know that story, that journey, that road comes to an end eventually. But what you do take and you always miss is just the relationships you built over those years. And I was fortunate to have a 16-year NBA career. And you miss the guys more than anything else. It's just the fun, the daily going to practice, shoot-arounds, road trips, all the little quirks about each other, just fun stuff like that.
Well, I hope you won't mind my saying you look like you could play a little bit still. You look very fit for a man of, well, let's just say our age. And you have a family member on the court today. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I have a senior at Grant, Christian Green, and he's a guy who's, you know, grew up around basketball. His uncles have played, his cousins have played, in the PIL. All of them come out of different PIL schools, not only Benson. So I can't be biased. But they've also had a chance to play international ball and stuff like that in the pro level also. But he's had some, you know, college aspirations. Some schools are looking at him. We're talking about options and opportunities. And so it's exciting. It really is. And we had a former Oregon State alum, Gary Payton, who was just in town with his Lincoln University. And they came out and had a chance to take a look at him as well just this past week.
When you were at Oregon State, am I remembering correctly, was Mark Radford on the squad or had he already graduated?
We missed each other by a year.
That would have been my guess because I thought he was just maybe a year off.
Yeah.
Mark Radford was at a game at Jefferson High School a few years ago watching his daughter play for Grant.
Okay.
And he also looked like he could still suit up. So hats off to you guys who are maintaining your fitness. Now, I'm curious, in your Benson career, it really exploded for you in your senior year, if I remember correctly. And
yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Well, am I correct? Did Benson win the championship, the 3A championship back in 1981, or you advanced very far?
Yes, we did. We lost, we lost our fourth game of the year to Hillsboro High School at that particular time. And it was like number one versus number two at that time in the state. And then we won the rest of our games that year, beating Hillsboro in the finals at Memorial Coliseum at that particular time.
Back when it was still 3A, the Coliseum was the home of all of those games.
Yes.
And by the way, Hillsboro was an enormous high school because there was no Century or Liberty yet. I think that was even the year before Glencoe opened.
So right.
Big schools, big teams. Do you have any particularly fond memories of games at the old Benson Gym that stand out?
You know, those days, you just think back and you just reminisce and relish in the moments, the guys you had a chance to play with and you still have relationships with through a lot of social media contacts now. And just the fact that it was so much fun having packed gyms. I mean, everybody was there, your family standing up, you know, in the doorways, your parents sitting down in their normal spots. Just fun times. Just the enthusiasm of, you know, PIL basketball was just at its heyday at that time.
I had left town to go to college myself in your senior season, so I'm working off faint memory. Were there any other D1 players on your Benson squad your senior year?
We had, you know, our one of our better athletes, best athletes, was our starting quarterback for Benson at that time, Troy Berry.
I remember Troy,
and,
of course.
And yes, drafted by the, also drafted by Major League Baseball, the Phillies organization, and of course, starting point guard basketball. And so just phenomenal athlete, but Sam Morton, Bobby Winters, Troy Berry, as I said, Virgil Goss, those different guys, Stevie Adams, all of them had a chance to play in college a little bit further down the road a couple years later.
Well, as I mentioned, I lived in Los Angeles for a long time, but I'd rather see if I can get you to remember the Benson kids than those guys that played in the NBA, because we hear about them all the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But no, and I appreciate you asking, because the Benson guys, and that was the beginning of it all. And so I appreciate that.
AC Green, I do have one question for you. What have you been able to do during your R time being away from the NBA? Have you been able to do some charitable work across high school basketball or basketball in general?
Yeah, I mean, during this time, the last 30, 40 years, you know, I've started in 1989 the AC Green Foundation, and we focused on educational, sports, entertainment, and so we've been trying to just pass this knowledge and this opportunity onto that next generation. We've had camps since that 80s. At Benson High School and Concordia High School College at that time. And so it's been something we always wanted to give back. With every state that I've been in, from Arizona to California, we've always made sure we try to transfer the knowledge and the wisdom.
We have about a minute remaining before play resumes. So AC Green, I'm going to say thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure meeting you and talking to you. I do have one last question. It does go into the NBA realm. Settle for us once and for all. Is it Michael, LeBron, or the captain?
Well, it depends which generation you ask that question to. They're going to vote for their guy, you know, and that's the fair answer. Because I've had a chance to play with a number of them, but I think each person they had a chance to see the most, they're going to say, oh, this guy was the best. And then 20 years later, they're going to say somebody else was the best. So it is what it is, but I've enjoyed it, and I'm glad to have a chance to play with some really great Hall of Famers.
You certainly did, and we are certainly lucky to have you join us today. Thank you once again. And we'll enjoy watching Christian play in the second half here.
No, thank you. Thank you for continuing to cover and have an opportunity for kids to get known and spoke on. And just what Vince has always been doing from a tech standpoint has been awesome. So thank you all for what you do. Thank you. All right.
Just about ready to get underway here. Again, our thanks to Benson's A.C. Green from the class of 1981, a state champion, a legend in Corvallis, and the NBA, the Iron Man, as Sean pointed out. And that, I will tell you quite frankly, was a treat to get to chat with him today.
Oh, yeah. He's a likable fellow, no doubt about it. Very respectable, very respected athlete, not only in the Northwest, but also around basketball.
You're listening to KBPS on Portland Radio Project.
Helping out our community and making the world a better place. That's what motivates one of our KBPS seniors. Jasmine in the KBPS senior class is very passionate about community service and about helping those in need in our community. She has done some reports on KBPS on PRP, on houselessness, on drug addiction. And today, Jasmine has a special in-studio interview with the folks at the Portland Rescue Mission. We're really proud of Jasmine's work and her dedication to helping make her community a better place. Please enjoy her interview with Portland Rescue Mission.
Yes, from the Portland Rescue Mission. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Mike Deccan. I have the pleasure of being the Director of Marketing at Portland Rescue Mission, and I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Of course. So I'm going to ask you a variety of questions and just do your best to answer them as much as you can.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. For listeners and students who don't know, briefly tell us about Portland Rescue Mission and what you do in our community.
I would love to. Portland Rescue Mission has been here since 1949. We say we give hope and restore life to men, women, and children who struggle with things like hunger, homelessness, and addiction. Our doors are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every single day of the year. So at any point, if somebody has a need, they could come to the yellow door of our Burnside shelter. They can access meals, they can access safe shelter, a restroom, clean clothes, a shower. We can give them an address where they can keep in touch with family and friends, where they can apply for work. But most importantly, Jasmine, we offer those services because when we do so, that creates an opportunity for us to build relationships, to get to know people, to learn their names, hear their stories, and find out what their bigger needs are. Because in addition to the meals in the shelter, we're best known for the meals in the shelter that we offer at the Burnside shelter. We also have other locations where people can access programs. Maybe they just need a quick 3-month program to save up first and last month's rent while they're working. But some people needed something a little more ambitious. We also have longer programs where we can address deeper issues like addictions recovery, vocational training, job training, parenting classes. It's about giving people whatever they need to restore their lives, become self-sufficient, and put them in a position where they'll never need Portland Rescue Mission again.
That's really cool.
Thank you. I agree.
Please tell us about why it is important to have a place like Portland Rescue Mission.
Oh, what a wonderful question. It's important because people are important. And the people that we get to meet every day, the people that we have the pleasure to serve, are people who are enduring a tremendous amount of pain, a tremendous amount of isolation. They're people who are used to being ignored or stepped over or sometimes even abused. And they need so much more than just a meal or shelter. They need to know that somebody cares. They need to be able to come to a place where they can be safe, where they can catch their breath, and they can be surrounded by people that know them, know their names, know their stories, and are committed to meet them where they're at and walk with them at a pace that they can sustain as they do the difficult work of putting their lives back together.
And I really like how you say people. A lot of like with all these upcoming debates and politicians, they call homelessness a problem or something they need to fix. You consider them as actual people.
Absolutely. And I've had the pleasure to meet so many of them. And every story is different and unique and special. But if there's one thing that's common from every person I've met over the last 22 years, it's that they never dreamed in a million years that they would need a place like Portland Rescue Mission. They never dreamed that they need a rescue mission or that they'd have to go someplace just to get a meal. So by the time they come through our door, there's not many options left for them. And that's why we leave that door open 24 hours a day. And we make sure that when they come through that yellow door at the Burnside shelter, that they're greeted by people that really care about them, volunteers, staff, and a lot of times people who've already been through the programs will come back and volunteer, or there's a lot of people currently on staff who've graduated our programs, and who better to greet them than somebody who knows exactly what they're going through.
All right, please tell us for yourself, personally, how does it feel to help out our community and help our neighbors who are most in need?
There's nothing in this world I'd rather do. And the work is not easy, and the work gets more and more difficult as the need continues to get more and more difficult. But every day, our admin offices where I work, they're in our Shepherd Store location, which is our long-term recovery center for women and women with kids. So every day at lunch, I get to see the people who are on the program. I get to see them excited about what's happening in their lives. I get to see them excited about graduating, about going to a job interview. We get to see moms that are reunited with their babies about 10, 12 times a year. And it's all the encouragement you need to come back and do your very best to keep the doors open and keep the work happening every single day. So honestly, I've got one life, and there's really no other way I'd rather spend it than being a part of, you know, giving meals and shelter and opportunity for people who need it.
I also learned from your website that you actually partnered up with Starting Fresh, I think it's called, where they give opportunities to people to train under them to start learning to cook, maybe do businesses.
Oh, our Fresh Start Catering?
Yeah.
Yes, I'd love to tell you about Fresh Start Catering. That's a big part of Portland Rescue Mission, and it's freshstart.catering, if you'd like to check out the website. And when I mentioned before that we do vocational training, the Fresh Start Catering is a big part of that, where people learn how to prepare food, they learn how to prepare events, and work with customers so that when they graduate the program, they can put that on their resume and they have applicable, you know, vocational training that can help them get a job. And we also have a program in addition to Fresh Start Catering called Drive Away Hunger. And a lot of times, being a nonprofit, people will donate their cars to a nonprofit. Well, at Drive Away Hunger, we have men and women on the program who are, again, they're getting vocational training, so they're learning how to work on the cars and then learn how to sell the cars. So that increases the value of the car for the donor. They get a higher tax deduction. And then when the car sells, all the proceeds go back to providing meals and shelter and programs. But those are two opportunities for people to get a job training that's going to help them a lot later in life when they leave the mission.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
When I first saw it, I also saw the one for automotive too. So it was really cool to see that. Can you share some Portland Rescue Mission success stories with us? Tell us about some people in our community who have come to you for help, and how are they doing right now?
Great question. Probably my favorite question to answer. How they're doing right now, I can tell you that about 80% of the people who've graduated our long-term program over the last 5 years are doing fantastic. They're clean and sober, in stable housing, in the workforce, and giving back to their communities. But I'd love to share one story that's very close to my heart. It was a gentleman we had a chance to meet. His name was Mark. And Mark had been on the streets for years. Ever since he came back, he was in the military. Ever since he came back to the States, he'd been struggling with homelessness. But at the same time, he continued to work. So he was staying in a mattress under a bridge. He'd get up in the morning, go to work, and that's where he would come back after his work day. Well, Mark joined our program and saw his life change in amazing ways. And also, while he was there, he built up a community around him of people who would continue to support him after he left the program. And he told us something that I'll never forget. We were there the day he got to walk into his apartment for the first time, where he held the keys in his hand. And he said, "This Thanksgiving, I could invite people over to my place." And then he stopped, and it, you know, you could hear it in his voice, and you saw his eyes tearing up, and it just meant the world to him after so long to have a place that was his very own. And he's doing great today. We also have a great alumni program where we get to keep in touch with people who've been in our programs as well.
I also saw some of the stories that were posted on there for people who actually graduated your long-term process, and they sound so happy that they ended up at your door. I cannot express the emotions I feel when somebody is just happy to come out of a homeless shelter, no longer living on the streets, having home, having food, having money to just pay their rent. And
yes.
It just warms my heart.
Thank you. It's happiness and it's a lot of hope. Hope for the future, that they'll never have to experience that again. And for a lot of moms that we get to meet, it's hope that their children will never have to experience the things that they've experienced.
Can people donate art supplies, toys, or books to Portland Rescue Mission for the kids?
Absolutely. And thank you for asking. We accept those donations at our Shepherd's Door location, and you can get all the information and the address at portlandrescuemission.org. And thank you for asking.
All right. Sounds like you're really helping to save people's lives. How does it feel to save people's lives?
Oh, wow. There's been so many times where we've talked to somebody and heard their story, and they've said, "If it wasn't for Portland Rescue Mission, I wouldn't be alive today." And it's incredible to hear that. It's incredible to be a part of that. But it also speaks to something so much bigger, and that is the ongoing love and the ongoing support from the community. Because ever since 1949, Portland Rescue Mission has never received any government funding. So every service we offer, every single meal, every program is made possible because of donations from the community. It's neighbors helping neighbors. So in addition to people supporting the mission and making those things possible, every gift that they give also sends a message to people in need that, you know, you haven't been forgotten and you know, we can get through this together. So it gives a lot of hope to the people in need, but it just speaks to how powerful it is when the whole community comes together and invests in the lives of people who genuinely want to do the difficult work of recovery and the difficult work of restoring their lives for them and their kids.
That warms my heart to hear. If there is someone in need that could use your help, what do they need to do?
That's a great question. It's very, very simple. If you go on to portlandrescuemission.org, portlandrescuemission.org, there's a button right on top, a big yellow button that simply says, "I need help." And there's a page there that gives you all the information that you need. And we will be back in touch with you right away. And if that's somebody who needs emergency shelter for the night, or if they need one of our long-term programs, whatever the case may be, we'd be very, very excited to talk to you. And it's as simple as clicking one button that says, "I need help."
All right. If a student or listener wants to help volunteer at Portland Rescue Mission to help save lives in our community, how can they help?
I love that question. Same answer as the last one. Please do check out portlandrescuemission.org, and there's a link that says ways to get involved. I would encourage you to come down and take a tour, because Portland Rescue Mission covers a lot of different bases. Sometimes people want to serve a meal. Sometimes people want to do some teaching, or maybe, you know, work with the kids in our Family Life Center. A lot of different opportunities to get involved. It's about finding the one that works for you and something that you'd be excited about. So a lot of times people will come and take a tour, and one thing will really stand out. They're like, "Man, I'd love to be a part of that." And that's a great opportunity for them to get involved. And when you do, the best part of it is you get to meet the people that come to Portland Rescue Mission and hear their stories. And a lot of times over the years, I've heard this so many times, Jasmine, where somebody says, I wanted to volunteer because I wanted to make a difference in somebody else's life. But I came here and I realized they're making a difference in mine. And it changes you in the best possible way. We'd love to see you.
hearing you say that is just like, oh my God, that sounds so amazing to just not only see the progress that other people have made and knowing that you possibly helped them, but mm-hmm. also knowing that they helped you in a way to just experience this. If there's anything else we forgot to talk about that you would like to mention, what would you like to mention? Anything else? Well, is there like school programs for the kids?
Absolutely. We have our Family Life Center for all the kids whose moms are currently on our Shepherd Store program. And we get to work with them, too, every single day. We have a library for the kids. Every day when I'm coming into the office, I'm seeing the kids get on the school bus. And as I'm leaving, I'm seeing them, you know, come off the school bus as well. So we're there to support them through their education process as well.
Do you guys, I know some homeless shelters do not do this, but do you guys take in drug addicts? That sometimes people like step on rules, like saying that they're not allowed to bring them in because like they might take in drugs and you're not allowed to do that. Do you guys like have people who rehabilitate themselves or have like a community session with people who have their own stories about their drug use and other stuff?
We do. As a matter of fact, we have a program for men called The Harbor. And we have a program for women and women with kids called Shepherd's Door. And a big part of both of those programs is addictions recovery. And it's a longer-term program, so it really gives us an opportunity to dig deep and address not just the addictions, but what are the root causes that put somebody in a position where they gravitated towards drugs in the first place, and work with them in overcoming their addiction and then building the support structure that they need so that they don't relapse after they leave. And that's our alumni program. It's getting them involved with positive, healthy community that'll support them every step of the way and just keeping in touch with them as much as we can. So addiction plays a big part in men, women, and kids who are struggling with homelessness. So we want to make sure that we're meeting every need that we possibly can, and that's a big one.
I think that's everything for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing this wonderful organization who is not funded by the government, but is funded by the community who wants to help make a difference.
Well, Jasmine, I just want to say thank you again for having us, for helping to share the story of Portland Rescue Mission. And if anybody would like to find out more or possibly come down and take a tour, you can get all the information you need at portlandrescuemission.org.
Good morning, KBPS on PRP. We are here with two of the Benson cheerleaders. Now, we have spent a lot of time focused on sports, very important topic for our students at Benson, but we are always talking with the team or the players or the basketball team or the soccer team. We never get to hear from the cheerleaders who are out there every game, working hard, giving it their all. And we figured, why don't we give a little love to our cheerleaders and hear from them? So we're here with, ladies, tell us your names. And and this is your first year on the cheerleading team?
Yeah.
So what are your names?
My name's Aviana.
And my name's Aaliyah.
And tell us about what it's like being a cheerleader.
It's actually pretty fun. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah, sometimes it's stressful because we learn like 5 to 7 cheers a day, and then we have to remember them and then do them on the games, and so it gets stressful.
Yeah, and games are really fast paced, so it's like you have to pay attention. Yeah. You have to like know basketball too, kind of, and so it's like there's a lot going on at once.
So all the people out there think cheerleaders don't work and don't do anything. What would you tell them?
We do.
Oh, we do.
We do. Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Aviana, we were talking just a little bit off the air just a moment ago, and Aaliyah, I want to bring you into this conversation as well. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember vaguely that didn't you both wanted to do this last year, but you didn't?
Yeah, I didn't try out, but Aaliyah did.
And I got a concussion, so then I had to quit.
Yeah.
You got a concussion at cheerleading tryouts?
No, it was like during practice, we were doing stunting and they dropped me.
They dropped
you? Yeah.
Oh my God. Are you okay?
Yeah.
I want to ask you what that was like, but I don't want to like go there. Also, and like, I'm guessing you maybe don't want to talk about that, but that, so Aviana, you were telling me that you kind of wanted to do it last year, but you didn't get a chance to do it. You're in it now this year. And what are your thoughts now?
I honestly wish I would have done it sooner because it's my last year, and it just seems like kind of like a short like period of time to like have fun, I guess.
How many seniors are on the cheer team?
Just us two.
Yeah.
You're the only seniors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you run the show? Do you start the cheers? I mean, are you the boss of the cheer team?
No, because it's our first year. Yeah. We don't really like, we don't know as much as everybody else. So it's like, we're kind of just like bystanders in a way.
Do you have fun when you're out there?
I do too.
What's your advice for maybe freshmen or sophomores or junior or anybody who's listening to this, girls who might, they think they want to do cheer, but they're not sure. What's your advice?
Do it. I'd say just do it. There's nothing to really be scared of, and you only have 4 years of high school.
And so. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Are both of you planning to go to college?
Yeah, I am.
Would you do cheerleading in college if you had an opportunity? Would you keep doing it?
Probably not, because like I don't feel like I'm skilled enough yet, and like I feel like that's also part of the reason why I wish I would have started sooner, because like you have to, like, college cheering is like hard, and they do like hard stuff, and that I know I'm not prepared for yet.
I feel like I would. I did cheer when I was from second grade to eighth grade, and I quit until this year. So yeah, I feel like I would. I like cheer.
Just go for it.
Yeah, don't be scared.
Aviana, Aaliyah, thank you so much for taking a couple minutes of your time and really giving some love to our cheerleading team.
Thank you for having us.
Keep up the good work, team.
I'm Taylor of the KBPS student staff, here with Joe, our student body president. Joe, thanks so much for being with me.
Taylor, thank you so much for having me.
Now, Joe, just for some background info, what do you do as our president?
Well, as the president here at Benson High School, it's my job to represent the student body to the staff here at Benson, to make sure that any concerns that the student body may have are brought to the attention of the staff members and addressed in quickly and adequate manner to make sure that we can truly continue to foster the amazing community we have here at Benson. So that's all that I'm really about. It's community and representation and ensuring that my peers can have a voice in the decisions made at this school.
Thanks, Joe. Now, our second question. I've recently seen a lot of flyers from student government asking people for comments on the state of gender-neutral bathrooms. I've also heard students talking about the deplorable state of such facilities. Do you believe that there's a problem with gender-neutral bathrooms at Benson?
Yes, Taylor, I do believe there's a problem with the gender-neutral bathrooms here at Benson. They can be easily separated into two distinct problems. One is the condition of such bathrooms being in disrepair, being dirty, and the other is the availability of such bathrooms. You currently only have 5 bathrooms, gender-neutral bathrooms, available for all our cisgender, transgender, and non-binary students here at Benson, which is probably, I'm guessing, maybe 50 students, that just pulling that out of thin air. And that's a lot of students and not a lot of bathrooms for those students. And the last thing we want to do is force any student who doesn't necessarily identify with the specific gender or sex assigned at birth or any of that thing. We do not want to force any student into a position in which they feel uncomfortable. And we want to make sure that we have these resources, these gender-neutral bathrooms, available to all students. And the issue with availability is quite simply there aren't enough bathrooms. And I've been receiving several complaints in terms of availability about people not being able to use a gender-neutral bathroom because it's already occupied, because there aren't enough of them. So, yes, I do believe that there is a problem with the gender-neutral bathrooms. I've seen the conditions of them for myself, and I've heard the stories from my peers talking about the state of these bathrooms and the lack of availability. So, yeah, there is a problem, and I'm quite concerned about it.
Interesting. Thank you, Joe. Are you taking any steps to address it?
Yes, I am taking steps to address this. I will be working with building administration as well as PPS, Facilities and Asset Management, in an effort to come to a solution quickly and adequately for our community members. It's a multi-step process, and I am working through getting some approval through our higher-ups here in the school system. I already have data, and let me tell you, it is some shocking data. I believe that some 70% of those surveyed that I conducted said that the amount of time it took them to look for a gender-neutral bathroom significantly took away from the amount of time they spent in class. Furthermore, when we asked students, like on a scale of 1 to 5, what their opinion on the current state of the bathrooms were, they were incredibly low, which is really concerning. And especially as coming out of the pandemic, schools nationwide, and including Benson, are having issues with attendance, to have just not enough bathrooms contributing to this problem with students not being able to have full attendance here at Benson. It definitely is a problem, and I can assure you that I definitely am working to take steps to address the problem.
Thank you. How long until a solution can be expected?
Well, I'd say that I've done most of the legwork already. We just need to hand it off to the higher-ups, get their approval on things, then, of course, get the people down here. The solution I have in mind would be converting two existing gendered bathrooms to gender-neutral bathrooms. Now, this would have no reduction in the capacity of bathrooms, because these are simply just a bathroom with a single toilet in them, and it's separated like boys, girls, which doesn't make any sense to not convert those into gender neutral, because you really just change the lock and change the sign. You're not reducing the overall capacity of bathrooms in the school, and you're not reducing any other factors that would contribute to a problem with all the other bathrooms. So for me, it is quite a simple solution, a no-brainer, if you will. And I strongly believe that we should be able to have a solution within the next 1 to 2 months.
Thank you, Joe. Well, thanks so much for being here with me, and thanks for answering all my questions.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Portland Radio Project on 99.1 FM. Our mission is to elevate local artists and organizations through streaming, broadcasting, and podcasting, engaging new generations of arts lovers and community supporters. This segment I've prepared here is one that I hope to repeat on PRP. I always wanted to be able to enter my library and playlist to choose one particular spotlight, if you will, on an album, artist, or even a particular song to elaborate on and appreciate why it holds value. Today's subject will be none other than Grant Green, a jazz guitarist who spent his career with the Blue Note label. Jazz guitar seems to go relatively unnoticed in the jazz scene, which is a shame because I find that it's mellower than rock electric guitar, but certainly more stylish than acoustic, an ideal middle ground between the two. So, without further ado, this is Grandstand by Grant Green. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. If you have any comments or questions for our team, contact us at kbps.am or call the station at 503-916-5101. That's 503-916-5101.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart.
Hi there, I'm Vicky. You might remember me from my previous interview with Miss Sombrano, a science teacher here at Benson. Well, today I'm back at you again with another interview, this time from a different science teacher, Mr. Smith. I hope you enjoy.
So I grew up in Michigan. Mm-hmm. I grew up in my hometown out of Michigan. My parents met at the University of Michigan. I went to University of Michigan. My brother went to the University of Michigan. My dad had 4 degrees from University of Michigan, and I turned 26 and was like, I finished college and was like, what the hell am I going to be when I grow up? Because I never thought about it. Like, my goal all the way through, like, I was like, I was going to go to college. I lived in a college town. My dad had his PhD. My mom had her master's. Like, I had, like if I had not gone to college, my parents would have looked at me like I was crazy, right? And all my friends went to college. I took my buddy's dad's class in college. So I was like, oh, I'm going to college. And then I got to my senior year, and I just never really thought about what was next. And so I finished, and I got a job working at a deli, and I was, you know, making sandwiches and whatever. And then my girlfriend at the time went back to school to get her teaching certificate and get a master's, an MAT, master's in arts of teaching. And so she had books laying around, and I'm like flipping through books. And, you know, and I realized, like, well, I'm supervising a bunch of high school kids right now at my job. And they're fun. It's a good time. I'm teaching them how to do stuff. So I was like, well, I like telling people what to do. I love being the center of attention. Like, I was trying to be the center of attention in eighth grade, right? Like, I was like, ooh, look at me. So, like, I kind of like being in charge, but not, like, way in charge, right? Like, I like telling people around me what to do and leading in that regard, but I don't want to run the whole school. Like, that's not my thing. But so I was like, well, I think I could be good at this. So I went 5 miles down the road to Eastern Michigan University and did a post-baccalaureate teaching thing, which basically took all my credits from my undergrad and then fit them in. I was like, okay, you need to take this teaching stuff and student teach, and then you're good. Right. I didn't get a master's out of it, which is too bad because I would have made way more money. So I did that. Pre-student teaching at my old high school was fun. Student teaching was fun in Southfield, Michigan, which is right outside the city of Detroit. I had this cooperative teacher who was awesome. She was like everybody's grandma. Had a ton of fun. Never had to do any kind of classroom management because they were all terrified of her. Right? So then I decided I've lived here forever. I need to move somewhere else. A friend that I knew was like, hey, if you like Ann Arbor, you'd love Portland. I'm like, all right. So I moved out here. So I got my teaching certificate and I just had paperwork. And then I started subbing and I got a gig at, I ended up as a long-term, after I subbed for Ms. Ramsey, and all the Fabian kids will know her. After subbing for her and she was like, oh, this guy's good. I got a job at Tubman from Thanksgiving till the end of the year. And man, that was lots of classroom management. Cause they'd had like 3 subs in a row, then Thanksgiving and then me. And so I did that. And then because I was working so hard doing that, I kind of didn't get around to actually getting a real job. Like, I didn't apply for teaching jobs because I was busy, you know, I was just keeping my head above water. And we had a little kid and chaos. So then the next year I started subbing again and I got a gig at Benson and I was subbing here and there. And then they had this halftime position open up because one of the CTE teachers had to stop teaching math. Mr. Horenko had to stop teaching algebra to pick up an extra CTE class. So then Ms. Winston had to drop science to go teach those extra math classes, and they had a halftime position open. And I got that halftime position, started January 26, 2004, and I've been here ever since. So,
and what do you think?
I love it here. I like that we have kids from all over the city. I like that we've got a lot of diversity. The kids here are fun. And the nice thing, what I like the most about Benson is you see these kids, they come from all over the city, and they're scared, and they don't know anybody, and they're like, well, they really wanted to come here. And they make friends, and you see these little kids that were freshmen, and like as seniors, they're just ride or die, right? They're going to be in each other's weddings. They're going to know each other forever. And it's just awesome to see that community be built, like, right in front of your eyes. Mr. Maceo was at Tubman when I was there as an eighth grader. He was in my freshman class. When I came to Benson in second semester, there's Jorge. There's little Jorge, quiet little kid who follows all the rules. And then his 10th grade year, when I was full-time, he was in my class. That guy was in my – he sat for through 3 years of Mr. Smith. So anybody out there who's like, man, Mr. Smith's a jerk, man, talk to Maceo. He says I was nicer then, but I don't think that's true because I was stressed out all the time. So I think I yelled a lot more then than I do now, but that may not be true.
Wait, so you taught Mr. Maceo?
I taught Mr. Maceo with three different classes.
That's amazing.
We taught Mr. Maceo math in eighth grade, and then integrated science used to be a two-year block, 1, 2, and 3, 4. So I had him for half of 1, 2 because that's when I started, and then 3, 4.
Jacob was a student here as well, Mr. Patterson.
He graduated in 2004 or 2000. So he I never knew
way him. Before your time.
But like I was looking through an old yearbook, and right next to and so when I started at Benson, my babysitter was a Benson student. She was a friend of ours' kid. She's like, "Well, I'm not going to call you Mr. Smith." I'm like, "Yeah, you are, because that's what people call me in school. That's just how it works." And I was looking through a yearbook of the first year I was here, and right next to Ashley is Ms. Padua. Like in the yearbook, I'm like, oh, there's a holy crap, that's Miss Padua. Like, I didn't know she doesn't talk much, she's quiet. Like,
right.
We don't talk a lot. So, I didn't even know she was an alum. I know Miss Keith's an alum because she talks about it all the time. She's like, when I was at Benson, and she, you know, talks about it all the time. Mr. Patterson talks about being at Benson all the time. But I had no idea that Padua was an alum. So, it was hilarious to see that. I'm like, oh my God, there she is, you know, in the yearbook. So, I took a picture of my phone. I was like, hey, look who I found, you know, and she's cracking up. But and the fact that the teachers that you know that Naganuma went here, that Mr. Wong went here, Harishu went here, like all these teachers that I started working here with were like, yeah, I went to school here. Like this is the community I want to be in. This is where I want to get back. Maceo came back, Patterson came back, Padre came back, Keith came back. I'm sure there's a couple I'm forgetting.
Right.
You know, so it's nice to see the community that
I think Mr. Anderson was a student here at one point.
Anderson, I don't know. Anderson's old as the hills, man.
So, yeah.
What's funny is Naganuma had some serious long hair. Or no, serious short hair. Now he has long hair. And Harishi, which I don't think you ever met.
I wouldn't have, yeah.
He was bald. So we would go back. He had freshmen in electric and I had freshmen. We would make fun of each other. Because I'd rag on him in my class and he'd rag on me. And they thought we hated each other. And we got along like house on fire, right? And I'd be like, oh yeah, he's like a little garden gnome at Benson, a short little bald man with a beard, right? And when I saw his yearbook picture, he had this just afro looking thing. But you could already tell, his forehead was a little too big. I was like, oh, that's not gonna end well. Like, it was pretty funny. Now maybe that's just confirmation bias, because I already knew that he was bald, so, you know, but it was funny. It's funny, it's just fun to see that people enjoy being here and they want to get back to it, right? So like that's why Maceo came back. Like, hey, I think I was talking to me the other day. He's like, I walked out of high school, didn't have to go to college. I got into a great, great career that paid me really well when I was in my 20s. Like, I was rolling in dough. So I want other kids to be able to do that, right? And that's awesome to see people do that. So
yeah, I did kind of want to get you to give an introduction of just who you are. Like,
I'm Mr. Smith. Whatever the older kids have told you are lies. Unless they're good. So I teach freshman physics. I've been here since 2004. I taught integrated science for a couple of years, all the way up until 6 years ago when we switched to freshman physics. And I have a biology degree. Like, I can teach the bio. Like, I like the evolution unit. I like genetics. Those are a ton of fun to teach. The kids like them. It's really cool. So I did that for all the way up until freshman physics, and then I just stuck with the freshmen. And I like the freshmen, right? Well, I like about freshmen is just they're fun. You know, they're hilarious. And honestly, and they come in and they get better. Freshmen in September are a hot mess. And then they get better and better and better. Whereas the seniors, like, by second semester, they stop doing things. They're like, oh, I don't need this class graduating. And they're just, I don't know. I mean, I think that they're adults and you can have some really good conversations. And I've got TAs that I've had for years or the kids I've known. Like, I've got a group of freshmen or a group of seniors now that eat lunch in my room and have been ever since they were freshmen. It's just where they settled out. They ate lunch there, and they've just always been here, right? And so I still have relationships with those kids, but I don't have to deal with a whole room full of it, right? So I like the freshmen. The freshmen are fun. They get better at it. I like knowing all the kids in the school, right? Like, historically, I would have, before we went to the academy system, or the freshman house system with the freshman success teams, where I've got a period, a release period, I used to have 6 out of 8 periods. So I would have anywhere from 50 to 60% of the freshmen. And I still have a little bit over half, because Coleman's got his TJP, right?
Right.
And that means that half of the kids that walk around these halls, I know who they are. And I like that, because if someone's doing something dumb, or like, hey, I can say hi to people, I just feel like part of the community, I know who everybody is. There was one year where I only taught about a third of the freshmen. And like that whole class, I was like, who the heck is that kid? Like, who's that kid? Like, you go to a game, I'd be like a basketball gamer, you know, go to the track meter, go to something, be like, I don't know what these kids are. Who's that kid, right? Whereas it's more fun to go to see those things when you know the kids are playing. Like, oh, look at so-and-so. That kid, I watched one of the kids I had, I watched Dylan dunk twice at a basketball game. I had him online. He fell asleep in class. The class would end, and he was still there. I'm like, dude, go. I'm like, Dylan! And I said, oh, I fell asleep, man, I'm sorry. And then he'd click out of the class. Like, he fell asleep like 3 times in class. It was hilarious. But I got to see him dunk. That was fun. Right? And get just see the kids at tech shows, see the things they're doing. Like, it's just fun to watch the kids succeed.
Right.
Whereas when you get them as a senior, they're kind of done. Right? Like, you get to know them, and then they're gone. Like, I get to see the kids, you know, my freshmen, I get to see them for 4 years. But yeah, so I like the freshmen. The freshmen are fun.
You're pretty well known throughout the school, I think, even for the kids.
I yell
that
at everybody.
Don't have you.
But also, that's the other thing, though, is also that all the kids know me.
Right.
But yeah, what else can I say? I'm looking forward to the new building.
You were looking forward to
the new building's going to be sweet. Like, because I was on the Master Planning Committee and Design Advisory Groups. So we got to kind of see all the plans all that stuff's on the web. I haven't seen anything. Nobody else. We just got to see it first.
Seems like a common consensus.
It's going to be nice. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, we complain about Marshall, but the old Benson was a mess.
The random courtyard in the middle of the school.
I called that the light shaft.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, it was because they had to add more. Oh, yeah, well, then one year they just hacked it all down, and then it just grew all back. At one point in my classroom, those bushes were actually covering, like, 80% of the windows.
It was so ridiculous.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But, I mean, that building was built in 9 pieces, I think. So, I mean, the shop wings, so there was the main building, and then there was the one shop wing, then there was the other shop wing, and then there was the gym, and the auditorium were done at different times, and then they filled in different places, and they put the library on, and it was all cobbled together. So it never worked. Like, we complained about the heat of Marshall being, like, inconsistent.
Mess.
It was bad at Benson, right? So as much as we complained about Marshall as a building, the old Benson, I mean, it was falling apart. So to be able to be in, like, a room where maybe it would be the same temperature every day.
Yeah.
To just have everything work, to not worry about, like, to...
So ridiculous.
Yeah. So I mean, the new Benson's gonna be nice. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, we've got another year here.
Unfortunately, that was when the bell cut us off. Hopefully, I'll get to do another interview with Mr. Smith someday in the future. But until then, I'm Vicky signing out. See you next week.
KBPS on PRP, the new student show airing on Portland Radio Project, featuring Benson High School KBPS radio students. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School. Staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland. On the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland and streaming worldwide from any computer at prp.fm. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joe Anderson, and this has been an hour with KBPS on PRP.